Welcome to Tell Me What You're Working On, where I speak to creatives in our community about what they do, how they do it, and why they do it. Visual artist Mel Dare has been fascinated with images since forever. In this conversation, she shares with us the thinking behind her work and how the process of exploring ideas unfolds. It involves bushwalking and sometimes napping. She also shares some of her experiences at artist residencies, what it's like to work in prisons, and the satisfaction she gets of people engaging with her art. This was such an interesting conversation. I hope you enjoy it. Hi, Mel. Thank you so much for joining me today.
My pleasure for being here.
I hope so. Let's see how we go. So let's start at the beginning. What's your earliest memory of making something or making art?
I do remember being at the kitchen table and drawing when I was about five, maybe six, and everything was all a bit overwhelming. And it was a way for me to just be able to work out what was happening at that time. And I didn't really understand what was the image or anything like that, but somehow at the end of the drawing everything made sense. But I get told that I started picking up a pencil when I was still in diapers. Yeah, and Mum used to say that she'd never met a kid that would just be fascinated by images. She said it was really easy to babysit me, not that parents babysit, but anyway.
To be occupied.
Yes, she would just put a picture book in front of me and I would just look at it for, you know, half an hour, that kind of thing. And I wouldn't stop. I was just fascinated. She said, I didn't understand what you were actually looking at.
Do you remember that? Do you remember the fascination?
No, I remember I've always been fascinated by images.
Mm-hmm. How did you then get started as an artist? Did you study art at school and then go on to uni?
When I was a kid, I was always told that I was good at art. That was easy. But I also really liked science and I liked writing and I liked music as well. By the end of high school, there was a lot of things I didn't want to do, but I knew that I liked the idea of being a visual artist. And I had a teacher who had studied art and was really encouraging. So I actually went to ECU straight after school, and being the first time out of home, coming from being a country kid into the city, that was all very interesting. So I had a wonderful time.
That's a big adjustment too.
Yeah, a wonderful time for about a year. And then I realised that maybe I needed to go and do some other things for a little while because I wasn't actually getting an education in as far as university was concerned. So I went and spent some time in the country. I ended up in a de facto relationship and basically in the suburbs working for lawyers, and that was very not interesting. And then I ended up in Albany in a group of people who were all very creative, and that was wonderful. And spent a year being barefoot and was doing art, and then decided I should go back to studying. So I ended up in Curtin, studying visual arts.
Okay. So what was the period of time between that first year and then returning?
I was 23 when I came back.
Okay, so just a couple of years.
Yeah. But yes, mature age, but
technically.
But
not really, is it?
I felt a lot older than the other students, but I wasn't really, not really.
Yeah, but you definitely had some experiences under your belt that.
Yeah.
So from there, what was your pathway? What did you do once you graduated? Did you have a clearer idea of what you wanted to do? How did you sort of embark on a career after that?
I ended up studying honours, which I thought was a really good thing to do. It really solidified my idea of being an artist, what it entailed, and also about what I was interested in. Mm-hmm. So that was really important. And I also knew from seeing so many artists that if I didn't start exhibiting straight away, then I probably wasn't going to, because there's only about 10% of graduates who actually are still practicing.
So is that a momentum thing?
Yes. So the first year out, I actually had two solos.
Wow.
Yeah. So.
Wow. After completing an honours year. Wow.
Yeah. So that was great, actually. Yeah.
And what kind of medium did you sort of specialise in?
I've always loved drawing and painting. Mm-hmm. I love 2D. There is something about being able to create a type of reality mm-hmm. on a 2D surface that intrigues me.
So two shows straight after graduating, what did it feel like as a new young artist in terms of, you know, technically, you know, you're just a fresh graduate, so you're a young or an emerging artist. What did it feel like to then put your work out there without the safety net of an educational institution?
There's something really interesting about being and not having experience and not
it's brilliant. That's what the 20s are.
Absolutely. There's partly the ignorance of you don't know any better, but there's also the understanding that you're supposed to fail. You're supposed to be exploring. You can make mistakes because you don't know where you're going yet.
Yep.
And you probably won't know for quite a while.
You don't know that at the time either.
But I knew there was this, I knew I was old enough to know that I had that safety net, mm-hmm. that I didn't have to, that you didn't, every artwork didn't have to be a masterpiece. Mm-hmm. And in fact, if I wanted to go anywhere in my artwork, I actually had to at times fail and do that publicly. And
so you went into it with that understanding?
Yes.
And is that part of, was that part of your learning at university, or was that just more your understanding that you had developed?
Personal understanding. It's one of those things that once you realise you can actually fall over and then you get up again, you have a laugh and you brush yourself off. Mm-hmm. And everyone just kind of 5 minutes later, they don't care. Mm. The only person who cares is you. And if you actually forgive yourself for falling over, oh well, you fell over.
So from those first two exhibitions, which I would imagine would still have quite an impact on your confidence going forward, were they well received? Did you sell any work? How did it pan out?
I sold a small amount of work.
Did you expect to sell more?
No.
Okay.
And in fact, I also got a review in the West Australian by, at the time, an acclaimed reviewer, critic, and it was a mixed review. Mm-hmm. It wasn't, there were some good bits, there were some bad bits, and it was actually one of the biggest, wonderfulest gifts I could have had because I read it and I realised that the world hadn't fallen in.
Mm-hmm.
That I was still there, that my work was still on the wall, and that it didn't devastate me. So I knew that I was probably going to be okay as an artist.
So it identified your resilience.
Well, I actually think if he'd been fully in love with my work, I think that it would have been really hard to move from that, because that would have been my expectation from then on. The same if I'd had a sellout show,
mm-hmm.
would have been the same thing. From then on, I would have expected that's what it is to be successful. And I've always been very wary of external validation. I try and find ways of being able to self-validate,
mm-hmm.
And finding ways where my practice is the most important thing. And that's what gets me through,
mm-hmm.
is that I actually enjoy what I'm doing. It's meaningful. And the rest is just bonus.
So you've graduated. You've
yes.
had a couple of shows. What else, what other things were you doing to sustain yourself as an artist over the years after that?
Oh, I did anything from cooking in cafes, to waitressing, to event managing conferences of 5,000 people,
wow.
to teaching And that's still, teaching is something that I still do. One of the things I love most is working in prisons.
Tell me about that. What's that like? Who do you teach? Is it men? Is it women? Who are they?
I've taught both. I actually enjoy teaching men more. Men usually respond to women, as I've found anyway, that men usually respond better to me being female. Mm-hmm. Whereas women, it feels more like a competition in a lot of ways, or you have to establish yourself in a certain kind of way. So it's been mostly maximum security prisons.
Okay.
Yeah, so...
What's that like?
It's great.
Okay. Not intimidating, not scary?
Once you realise that you're not going to get killed or hurt or the rest of it.
Sorry, I beg your pardon. That's quite an extreme bar to work against.
It's walking through a prison. Mm. The security itself is quite intimidating, let alone walking through the general public.
Yeah.
You know, you walk through corridors and you end up going past people, and it's quite an intimidating environment.
I would think so.
But the thing is that once you're in education, it's different. I mean, the guys are there because they want to be there usually, and it's a privilege. Mm-hmm. And we try and always set up as educators a space that's safe, not just for us but for them. So, and that's, for me, the biggest emphasis is it's a prison, so I want the guys to be safe. Mm-hmm. I want everyone to be safe. But also, I have a great belief that you can't actually learn unless you feel safe. Mm-hmm. That's the first thing. So working in prison has been, it's been great. I've loved it. I've seen people go from not being able to sit in a chair for more than 5 seconds.
As in being able to be still?
Yeah, mm-hmm. And saying, I can't do this, and all that kind of resisting, to the point where they complete a painting, mm-hmm. and they can sit there for, you know, maybe it's only 10 minutes. Sometimes it's half an hour, and then they'll have to go and pace down the corridor,
okay.
and get rid of that nervous energy, mm-hmm. come back again. And you teach them little bits and pieces. They start feeling safe. They start being able to learn. They start being mentored by other people. Mm-hmm. And at some point, I've seen guys who have been so resistant and who have said, I can't do this. And then they end up going to the English teachers, and they put themselves into an education course where they learn to read and write.
Oh, my gosh.
You know, sometimes they're 17. They've just, you know, they've been in the system for a little while. And then before that, they were homeless. And sometimes they're 40-year-olds or 50-year-olds, and they've never learned to read and write. And that's only one of the ways that one of the things they get out of doing art is they learn that they can learn.
Yes.
They have a space where they're safe.
Yeah.
A lot of the guys get to actually, they'll say, I've been to prison for years. I've been in and out for years. This is the first time I've had time and space to be able to think about what else I want in my life apart from what I'm doing.
That's huge.
I know, and it's a great privilege. Yeah. And the only thing for me that I needed to do was actually look at the other person and meet them halfway.
Yep.
And not look at them like, oh, they're in here because of this, that and the other.
Yep.
Just that's theirs. My job is to support them.
Yep.
And to make sure that we all have boundaries so we're all safe. Mm-hmm. And after that, it's just helping them, you know.
Facilitating that forward motion for them.
Yeah, and also encouraging them to mentor each other, mm-hmm. which becomes really important, because teaching, when you're teaching someone else, it builds confidence. You realise that you have something to learn, to teach yourself, and that you've learnt things.
And you're valued, you know, yeah. you have a value.
It's really empowering. Mm. So, and we've also done great projects like murals, mm-hmm. for the prisons. So the guys get to be able to say to their families when they come to visit, I did that. Or they're like, my mate did that mural. And they get a sense of pride. They're not just a crim.
Yeah.
You know, and that, because a lot of them feel like that.
Yeah.
That's all they are. And they're not.
So it's building a different identity, I guess, which is – Part of the rehabilitation process, ideally, isn't it?
Yeah, absolutely.
So let's get back to your work. Can you describe your work for us?
Oh,
that's a fun question, isn't it, for creatives? Describe your work.
Do you mean when you look at it, or do you mean what it is to me? Yes.
How would you describe it in terms of the materials that you use and the type of imagery that you create?
Most of the time I paint and I draw. I have, in the last couple of years, done quite a large series of textiles, so that was interesting. And I was pretending I could crochet or knit or something, so at least. But most of, for the last probably at least 8 years, a lot of what my work's been about is using the metaphor as threads. Mm-hmm. So I'm really, really interested in identity. And a lot of the time I'm doing lots of research and I'm thinking in terms of not just psychology and neurology and biology and all those different ologies to try and understand what makes us. Mm-hmm. But I'm also just, I don't know, spending time in the world, mm-hmm, and conversations as things I see, books I read, lots of different things inform that as I go, because everything at some point starts relating to what you're thinking about. Mm-hmm. So I've been using the idea of threads as a way of trying to understand how we have these threads through our lives that we get from our families, we get from our cultures, we get from the time we live in, the experiences we have, and we weave them together, and sometimes we take them apart and we try and find a fabric, a way of understanding our lives. I've really enjoyed the process of having such a simple metaphor and just exploring that. Mm-hmm. I'm not sure how long I'm going to be using that for from now on, but yeah, it's been nice to have something so simple to meditate on and yet has a lot of complexities and ends up also, you know, people talk about how that can relate to nature or at times to neuron pathways and so forth.
So you've described your work to us, which is just really intriguing, but I love the simplicity of it as well. I totally understand that, and I think that's there's a lot there, so I can see why you're finding it with a lot of richness to explore. So can you tell me a bit about what motivates or inspires you and your work? Is it other art that you may have seen, whether it's historical or more recent, or is it nature or things in life, or can you whittle that down a little bit at all?
I have done artwork that has related to other people's paintings. So mm-hmm. I did a few different works on the painting Olympia. But I find I used to try and be clever.
What do you mean by that?
I used to think that I had to have some great notions, mm-hmm, and my work had to be fully resolved, and I thought a lot more about in terms of what the product is going to be, how people are going to see it at the gallery. Whereas now it's more about the process of making. I feel like when I'm doing artwork, I am having a conversation. And it's sometimes with myself, sometimes with the artwork, but a lot of the times it's me. I get on really well with scientists because they ask questions and they want to know things. And there are times where we end up talking and I'll end up saying, I know this sounds really strange, but a lot of the times I will do research and I'll have almost like a hypothesis, and then I start the artwork and see what happens. And it feels sometimes like my studio becomes a lab where I'm trying to explore.
Well, you're creating, yeah.
And I'm trying to understand something and see whether what I've understood from the start is what I get at the end.
I've heard other artists describe their work as trying to solve a problem, which to me sounds very mathematical or scientific as well. So
it is.
I've heard that before.
It is in a way. I feel, I don't know how many other, I know a lot of other artists have said this when we've had conversations, that there is things that we as you get older, you realise that you're still asking or seeing or trying to understand the same things as you did when you were a child. When I was a kid, I was this shy little kid who didn't know the words to describe what I was feeling and thinking. I just loved people. I found them fascinating. And I wanted to understand how they ended up the way they were. I feel like I'm still doing that, mm-hmm. and I'm nearly 50. But there's a part of me that's still that five-year-old looking at another person and looking at myself and going, how did this end up happening, mm-hmm. this person? Mm-hmm. How did these other people end up seeing the world in this kind of way? And you look at families and there's all these similarities and yet there's all these differences. That's fascinating.
Well, it's also endless, isn't it?
It is, which is the wonderful thing about questioning.
Yeah. And that's interesting because, you know, earlier you described your work in terms of identity, and that's the core of it really, isn't it? Who we are, what we are, why we are, how we are.
Yeah, these stories that we actually thread around ourselves, mm-hmm. these narratives.
You said thread.
I did.
See, it starts to link back.
No, the world is a fascinating place most of the time.
Definitely. Can you tell me what is your favourite element of the work that you do, you know, the favourite aspect, whether it's initial sketching, whether it's sitting and pondering, whether it's researching, whether it's at the point of finishing and framing, all of it?
I really love when I have these rituals. So,
oh, tell me about those.
I love rituals. Mm. So, and it's something as simple as it's as basic as I clean my studio.
Okay.
And I touch everything.
Okay.
Or I touch a lot of things. And I try and everything becomes where it should be. Mm-hmm. And I feel like everything's prepared so I can start. And then you have that blank canvas in front of you and you have this wonderful idea. And then there's this moment where you take a deep breath and you've mixed up the paint or you've got that pencil or charcoal on hand and you make your first mark and you think, in that moment you think, I know exactly where this is going to end up. And
okay.
then you put your second mark on and then the third mark on. And by the fourth mark, everything's gone. All your preconceptions and you've started a discussion. Mm-hmm. All these different marks are like words and it's like when you meet someone who you know is going to be really interesting and really gets you and you think, I'm going to have a conversation with them about this and we're going to do this and we're going to do that and we're going to do all this other stuff and we're going to have this great conversation and at the end we'll both have exactly the same ideas. And then you end up having an even better conversation because by the end you know something else and you understand the world in a different way. Or just some small thing, you've ended up looking through at something through their eyes. And that's the same as a painting. That I mean, the part of the reason why I'm still an artist after 22 years is because I stopped trying to make art. I just enjoyed the process. And I've given up all these ideas of who I should be, what the artwork should look like.
So you're happy to I guess, for want of a better word, surrender to what happens because, you know, I would assume that after 22 years you have an understanding that you're going to get somewhere that you're happy with because you've got a lot of experience under your belt in terms of outcomes.
Absolutely. But that only happened about 10 maybe 12 years ago.
Okay.
Yeah, when I started realising that I knew enough and I could always fall back to old patterns, mm-hmm. so I may as well try something different.
Right.
And I may as well actually see what happens rather than try and replicate what I've done before.
You talked about cleaning out your studio, having that fresh space to start. So what's the process of starting an artwork?
So I really like research. Mm-hmm. So in a way, I find that doing research is like you're going on a bushwalk. Mm-hmm. So it's the map and you kind of know where you're going. You have a path plotted out and you know that there's going to be trees, you know there's going to be a river here, there's going to be a view there. You have an idea. But it's not until you actually start walking and all of a sudden you're feeling the wind on your skin, you're hearing the birds.
Right.
You get up to that view that you never even thought was there and you can see it and you understand a little bit more about things and it's completely different than the map.
So it's only once you start the process can you get into that. Mm. There's no way around it until you're in it.
Yeah, absolutely. And by the end you might have done exactly the same, you might have gone the same path mm-hmm. than you've mapped out. Mm-hmm. But because you've actually gone through that process,
yep.
You've been there, you have this different understanding.
You've had the experience, not thought about the experience.
Yeah, absolutely. And that's, for me, that's the difference between thinking about something and producing an artwork.
So is that the joy of producing for you?
For me it is, yes. I get to go on a walk,
yep.
A lovely walk, and by the end of it I understand the world a little bit better.
And is that the joy that you get from creating? That the element that is it for you?
It's that, but it's also I get to think about the world. I get to think about how I've ended up having this perspective, how someone else has ended up having the perspective they've had. And that's always what I've been interested in, mm-hmm. how we as human beings, as individuals, how we have this subjective understanding of the world, our personal narratives, these stories that make us who we are.
And so do you find, for example, when you're exhibiting your work, people talk to you about their perspective, and is that an interesting process for you? You've approached it in a certain way, you've done it in a certain way, and they've read it in a different way?
I love that. Mm.
And you're comfortable with that?
Absolutely. I think a work works when it engages you enough that you want to understand and you want to put your perspective on it. I make the artwork mm-hmm. and I've got my understanding of it. I can't give that to you.
No.
And in a way, even me thinking about what I was doing is still a reflection on something, and it's different from when I'm actually making it. So even afterwards, in a way, I've got a different perspective than when I made it.
Right.
So when someone's looking at something and they're saying, hey, this reminds me of this and that and the other and did this mean this, it's wonderful because mm-hmm. what they're saying is this engaged me enough. Mm-hmm. This made me think. This made me want to understand. You know, it means that the artwork worked. It would be really great if they got the same meaning as me in a way, but in a way there's something that is even better because they make me look at what I've done and say, oh, I thought this, but you got that.
Is there also something in the fact that you have created or invented something that then has connected and resonated with someone else, and connection is such an integral part to being a human being?
Oh, connection is everything mm. as far as I'm concerned. Mm-hmm. If not, it's a lonely existence if you don't have connection.
So is it a feeling of satisfaction when someone then reflects that back in viewing your work?
It is a sense of, I mean, it's some of the best feedback you can get is okay. that someone actually engages.
I think it's also a bit of a sign of success really, isn't it?
At
to times. Connect with someone. Well, just to connect with someone, whether it's the way you intended or not.
Yeah. Unfortunately, when you're usually at an exhibition, most artists will say the same. You're so exhausted.
Yeah.
And you've been working for, it depends, a month up to my last solo was 8 years of work. So you end up by the time you're actually exhibiting, sometimes you're so exhausted and there's been so much pressure that all you're doing is performing. It's really hard. You're just happy if you can smile and you can just
stay upright.
Yep, absolutely. And say hi to people.
Maybe they should have closing night events rather than opening night events.
I think that's a good idea.
I want to then go back to when you're studying art in university. When you're a student, is that any part of the learning? I mean, obviously everyone's going to learn as they grow and develop, but it sounds like you've reversed the process of when you started with regards to I'm not driving it, it's driving me. Is that something that's from university, or is that how it's taught, or is that just how you approached it, do you think? I'm just curious, you know, at what point does an artist step back and hand the reins over to their creativity?
It seems such a long time ago. I had lecturers who would emphasize you need to know what you're doing before you start.
Right.
And I also had ones that said explore and see what happens.
So both. Yeah, both kinds. Okay. Mm.
And I really liked the fact that I had all these different types of lecturers.
And maybe that's part of just helping you develop as an individual and working out what works for you, what process is the process that suits you most. You know, I know of writers who have it all mapped out, and then I met an author who wrote an incredible book, and as she was writing, she had no idea how it was going to end, and she wrote six endings. And I said, but isn't that against the rules? And she said, absolutely. And I lecture in writing, you know, but that's how it worked for her, and she did something incredible.
Oh,
not what you expect.
I know, it sounds lovely.
But I just found that really fascinating. Intellectually, she knew that went against all of the rules, but that's how her creativity presented itself and presented something that was really well resolved. I'm just curious, I guess it comes to the point of at what point are we confident to surrender to creativity and let it be what it's going to be, or are we controlling it and maybe not controlling it in a bad way? How do you know if something you're working on is going well? I mean, you've kind of described in terms of when you were talking about making the first mark and the second mark and the third mark, but do you ever find that, you know, by the 100th mark that it's obviously going in perhaps a different direction, but you don't like it? Or
you mean the 1,000th mark?
The 1,000th mark. I don't know how many marks. I'm not a visual
That's
marker.
Okay. No, but good question.
You know, because do you have that sense of I've just got to finish it because I started it, or can you just go, this is just not working, I'm not happy, or I can turn it this way? Or
the funny thing with painting and drawing is that you can ruin something in an instant. All you have to do is you have to be in the wrong headspace, and all of a sudden, or you have to be in a bad mood, and all of a sudden everything changes and you do something where it's the wrong colour, the wrong type of mark. Yeah, or you just decide you hate everything and you start painting over it and then wonder why the hell you did that, which is why most of the time I do at least three paintings at once.
Okay, yeah. Three different paintings?
Sometimes they're very similar, sometimes they're different.
To see which one's going in the direction.
Well, it's when you've only got one painting, it becomes very, very precious. It's like, it would be like having one child. All of a sudden all your hopes and dreams are in that one child. It's a huge amount of pressure to put onto one thing. And sometimes it works. Sometimes I've done artworks that are larger than 2 metres by 2 metres, and I've spent a couple of months on them full time. And that's all I want to do. And it works, or I think it works anyway. Mm-hmm. You were asking before about when do you think an artwork's actually finished. That's a really hard question. Sometimes it is about the fact that a deadline's coming up, and at some point you have to find a way of making it congruent and everything's working together and it seems to be a whole painting. And sometimes it doesn't work. Which is why it's really good to have at least three paintings going at once, or drawings.
If it's a piece that doesn't work, do you put it away, not to be seen?
Sometimes it comes back later. I have done lots of different types of artworks, so sometimes you're in the wrong headspace. Sometimes you don't care at all about something, and then 6 months later.
Oh, I was just wondering about that. That's not so bad.
Yeah.
Okay.
Or I can find some life in that, or maybe that's a nice background. Let's start again.
Let's change tack a little bit. What do you do to nurture your creativity? What kind of practices or rituals? You know, you're an experienced artist, so I would imagine that by this point you have an understanding of what makes you tick, and, you know, you've got to balance other aspects of working. What do you do for yourself?
One thing I love is walking. I've learnt walking is a very good way of being able to have a bit of a headspace, take a break. It also actually is one of the few things that produces stem cells, which actually help build new neuron pathways.
I did not know that.
So walking is very good for many different reasons. Good for your brain.
Yeah, okay.
I often find that when I'm walking, I will be looking around and seeing things, and all of a sudden something that seems like it's been a problem, I'll find some sort of answer because I'm not thinking about it anymore. It's not there in the top of my head. It's worked itself out.
Do you listen to anything when you're walking, or you're just unadorned and just take in your surroundings?
Sometimes I love having music on, and other times I actually will have my headphones on, and I'll actually have nothing on. Sometimes I don't want to hear any sounds or very little sounds, and then other times I really love listening to the city. I have a studio in Northbridge, so I get to have these great walks down to the river or around Northbridge or around the CBD. And you get to see all of those skyscrapers and all those windows and reflections and all the people walking by.
And do you meditate or do any other sort of practices in terms of inward exploration?
I do meditate. I on and off have done for 20 years. I'm a much better person when I meditate.
Why do you think that is?
Because when I meditate, it's a body meditation and a breathing-based meditation. So I'm not actually thinking about myself and about my ego and about the future. All I'm doing is just breathing and thinking and being aware of what's happening in my body. And for a little while, I all the craziness stops in my head. You know, all those wonderful thoughts that most of the time are wonderful, and then when they build up and they build up, and it's like,
It's almost like being able to catch your breath.
Absolutely.
That pause on all of the noise, the inner noise that we have. And do you think that helps you sort of sift through that and find the bits of calm that allow you to access your creativity, would you say? Or am I making it something too fancy?
It can help me. To be honest, napping is also a really good way of accessing creativity as well.
I love that.
I've had wonderful naps, about 20 minutes, and I'll think I'm given up. I'm exhausted. Have a nap, and I'll ask myself. I'll say, "Oh, I've got this problem," and by the end of the nap, I'll wake up and think, "Oh, that was the answer. That was really simple."
So you need to, that's your way of switching off, to let the problem percolate and solve. That's fascinating.
I love thinking, but unfortunately I think that thinking gets in the way of actually working things out at times.
You've done some residencies through your career. Can you tell me a little bit about those and how you feel they've benefited you as an artist?
Residencies have been great. I did my first residency in Perth Institute of Contemporary Art about 2005 with an artist I was collaborating with, Tori Benz. And we spent about 6 weeks looking through three pieces of Perspex that are about 2.4 by 1.2 metres and having a conversation just purely visually. We didn't talk for the whole time, and all we would do is try and have a conversation with ourselves. And it was one of the most frustrating things. Mm-hmm. She would agree that I've collaborated on. The unfortunate thing about having a conversation where you're putting down paint onto clear Perspex and trying to communicate with each other is you see the reverse side of what the other person is saying. And the more you actually, quote unquote, speak, mm-hmm. the more you can't see each other.
Okay.
Because you end up going over the marks that you've already made. Mm-hmm. And so by the end, we couldn't actually understand each other because all we could see was the words that already had happened, or the marks that had already happened, which was actually in a weird kind of way, although frustrating, quite successful because mm-hmm. it made us aware of how communication can work. You get so caught up in your own words and in what's already been said that you can't actually hear each other anymore. So that was really interesting. So I've done that one. I've also had residency at Midland Junction Arts Centre with an artist called Claire Bushby. We had a lovely time just making work. And I've also in 2017, went to Finland and did a residency at Ateliers Creative Centre in the middle of the Finnish countryside. And that was with 14 other artists from around the world, creatives around the world. That was wonderful most of the time.
Had you been to Finland before?
No, and I've always been terrified of being cold. I've been to Europe 2 times in winter before, mm-hmm. and spent at least 2 to 6 weeks of those times being absolutely freezing because I didn't have the right weather. Mm. This time I researched and I did.
Were you there in winter?
Mm.
Oh, that's brutal.
Yes, it was minus 20 when I arrived. So that was...
For a West Australian, that's hard.
I know.
That's really hard.
It would seem it, but I had really good thermal underwear.
So you did your research.
Did.
Yeah. Yeah. And how long was that residency?
That one was for a month.
Okay. Were you collaborating with anyone or it was just about being in the environment and being around the other creators?
It was about being in the environment. Yeah. It was actually called Silence Existence Awareness. So we actually had days where we were in silence. So we'd have, I think it was 4 days, and then we'd have a day of talking and then we'd have another 4 days. It was something like that anyway. So that was also interesting. They also had a meditation room. So you had all these people that you didn't know very well. And we all had one big shared studio space.
Mm-hmm. What was that like in such a large shared studio?
It was lovely most of the time. Sometimes there were days, I mean, a month is a long enough time that you start thinking, oh, there's so many cultural differences. Mm-hmm. And, you know, you have personality clashes. Artists are always, you know, lovely.
But
well, they're lovely, but we're all, as a rule, most of us are introverted, so okay. Sometimes it's we all take a bit of time to warm up to each other, and mm-hmm. you're always a bit.
And it's communal living as well.
We all had our own rooms.
Yeah,
so that was,
but like a big shared house.
Yes. So
that would have been interesting too as well.
Oh, it was lovely. Yeah. Okay. There was really lovely bits. There was a couple of people who played guitar. I love singing. There was a couple of us love singing. So we got to have every couple of days when we weren't having silent days, we would go and do a bit of a sing-along, find all the songs we actually all liked. That was lovely. Yeah. But there were people from it's really interesting, the differences of people from – you know, the English background mm-hmm. compared to the Americans, compared to the Europeans. Mm-hmm. I had one of the residents was from Austin, and she would say, what is it with all of you English speakers? Like, as in colonists.
Yeah.
Should say, what is it? You walk into a room and you have to say hello to everyone. Like, I only talk to people when I want to talk to them.
Right.
So she couldn't understand when you'd walk into a room and you'd say, oh, good morning, good morning.
Right.
Yeah, how was your sleep? Australians are all so nice.
Did she get it by the end, do you think, or it just didn't work for her?
She came from a very different culture.
Yeah.
Yeah. So her parents were New Yorkians. By the end, she had never had family meals. They had always just grabbed something from the fridge individually and, you know, gone back to work or sat somewhere or gone to their own room. She'd never had a family meal. So that was something that by the end she went, oh, I'm going to take back.
Yeah.
Back with my family.
Yeah. Hmm. Yeah, that connecting over food is really important.
It's very European.
Mel, tell me what you're working on now or what's next. Where are things at for you?
At the moment, I'm actually having a bit of a sabbatical. I've had some things happen in my life that have been a bit hard. Dad passed away about a year and a half ago, and I've had some health things happen. And I'm nearly 50, so I'm having a little bit of a midlife crisis. Mm-hmm. And I decided that after my solo in September that I should have a little bit of time off. So that's been really wonderful. Mm-hmm. Because having time off, I've realised why I appreciate being an artist and what it does for me. I've also had time to think about health, because most of my practice has always been about putting my art practice first. So, you know, for most of my practice, if I've got some artwork there, I will sleep in my studio. I will sleep very little. I will decide that I'm not going to see my friends or do anything, because all I've got is the art practice. And after about 20 years, it's a bit, it's impacted my health and a lot of other things. So it's been really good to think of and work out other things and other ways of being. I'm doing a pottery course at the moment, which is very nice to have my hands dirty and to be a student again, and just to be doing something where I don't have to have big concepts and think about things much. I just have to learn. I've really appreciated that. At some point I will be talking to a gallery that's offered me a solo. So that will happen soon, and I'll start thinking in those terms.
Okay.
But before then, I would like to get back to my studio and remember why I started being an artist.
Yeah. So it's like a regrouping.
Yeah.
If you worked in government, that would be long service leave.
Sad.
it's that significant chunk of time after you've served a period of time. And it's not just a holiday, it's something longer, which is what allows for the opportunity for re-engaging with life, not work, but also then the opportunity for reassessing, really.
Mm, absolutely. It's funny, but the years go really fast.
Yeah.
And you at some point end up feeling like you've done the same thing over and over, and it's been really enjoyable, but there's a point at which it's nice to have a break and work out, what am I actually doing? Mm-hmm. Why am I actually doing this? And in all of that, who am I? Which I find it kind of interesting that my whole work is about identity at the moment. I'm trying to work out in a kind of way what mine is, yeah, where I'm at.
But that makes sense, isn't it? It's constantly tying back to the theme that drives you, I guess.
Mm. It's a bit humbling, actually.
That's not always a bad thing, though, is it?
Oh, no, it's a great thing.
Yeah. So, Mel, if people want to find out more about you or see your work, where can they find you or follow you?
Okay, so you can see my work at meldare.com, and dare is as in D-A-R-E. And I'm on Instagram, so that's Meldare Artist, one word.
Do you like doing the social media stuff?
No. It always seems like a lovely idea, and I really appreciate other people and their input.
Yep.
But I think I'm a bit old school. Yeah. But I do like looking at other people's pretty images and their nice little words.
Yeah.
Well, and sometimes they're big words.
Yeah. Right. Mel, it's been fantastic to meet you and talk to you. Thank you so much for giving your time to tell us your story of your creativity and your art practice, and lots of luck with moving forward.
My pleasure. Thank you.
This project has been made with the support of the City of Stirling through their Community Creativity Fund.